decided as a young budding waterfowl biologist that I wanted to be, that there's probably no place better to do that than the Prairie Pothole region of North Dakota.
Welcome to the National Wildlife Federation podcast. I'm your host, Drew Youngdyke. On this episode, I get to sit down with the North Dakota Wildlife Federation. And for those of you who have heard some of our earlier podcasts, you may know how the National Wildlife Federation works. We are composed of 51 state and territorial independent affiliates, and that's important because what that means is we don't tell them what to do. They actually get together at our annual meeting where we're recording this, and then they tell us what to do at the national level. And it's unique with the National Wildlife Federation because about half of our affiliates represent hunters and anglers in their states, and about half of them represent more environmental or watershed or birding interests in their states. And our policy ends up being where they can agree. The North Dakota Wildlife Federation, I would venture a guess, is pretty unapologetically the voice of hunters and anglers in North Dakota. And I know that because I'm here with John Bradley and I'm here with Dave Brandt. And I'm just meeting John Bradley now, but I've known Dave Brandt since we met at last year's annual convention. And this dude is a hunter and an angler. So I want to introduce you guys then here. John Bradley is a new executive director of the North Dakota Wildlife Federation. And Dave Brandt is a longtime board member of the North Dakota Wildlife Federation. So let's start with you, John, because I already know Dave a little bit. We'll get to him later. John, you recently just started as a North Dakota Wildlife Federation executive director. Where'd you come from? What led you to this position?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us on. Like he said, I'm John Bradley. I'm the new executive director for the North Dakota Wildlife Federation. I got my start in hunting and angling at age 2, sitting on a dock in Minnesota. My parents didn't trust me with a hook, but so I sat there with a bobber and was persistent that I was going to catch something. And so it fueled a lifelong passion of the outdoors. The last 4 years before moving to North Dakota, I was in Montana chasing elk, chasing pheasants and ducks with my 2-year-old yellow lab, and trying my hand at fly fishing. I'm happy to report that North Dakota, I can now get back to my true passion of walleye fishing.
Nice.
And I've been out this spring, and so that's kind of my background as a sportsman, my sportsman's credential, I guess, if I pass that test. Yeah, it's been fun, and I'm excited to be in North Dakota and to take what I've learned, my experiences in Minnesota and in Montana, and apply them to North Dakota and get hunters and anglers involved in conservation work.
That's terrific. How's it going with learning how to fly fish? Because I've been trying it for 15 years, and I'm still terrible.
Yeah, it's frustratingly fun, is what I'll say. It's tough to know where you can see the fish, and you know that if you went to your truck and pulled out a spin rod, you could probably catch them. But it's a lesson in patience, and so it's been fun.
Nice. And Dave, you're on the board of the North Dakota Wildlife Federation.
I was educated as a wildlife biologist, grew up that way. I grew up in Iowa originally, come from a family of long line of hunters. My mother's side are Minnesotans, and my dad was a farmer, grew up in a farming family in Iowa. So I had a couple different perspectives growing up. My dad was more utilitarian. He hunted when he had free time. And my mom's side of the family, they worked in factories, so they spent all their free time hunting. So okay. So it's a little bit different perspectives, but I remember as a young child tagging along at actually 3 and 4 years old with my grandpa and father on opening day of pheasant season, and developed a passion for dogs at that point because they were just like me. I was the bird dog, and that was my other companion. So I learned in early life that dogs are going to be a part of my future. So anyway, so that got me going, and I decided at later in life that I thought I'd like to pursue a career in wildlife biology. So I did go to school for that and graduated. And through that process, actually took up duck hunting on my own because my father did not duck hunt. So I learned from the ground up to be a duck hunter and made all the mistakes and learned the hard way to make them come to me. So anyway, that actually formed my career, and then I decided as a young budding waterfowl biologist that I wanted to be, that there's probably no place better to do that than the Prairie Pothole region of North Dakota. So that's what drew me to North Dakota about 30 years ago, and that's what got me there, and that's where I've been ever since. It is, in many cases, in many aspects, a hunter's paradise up there, especially if you're a waterfowl hunter. So that's what kind of brought me, and then I got pulled into the Wildlife Federation just because I believe that it's our responsibility to give back to resource in some manner, and that was a way that I figured I could put my resources into that. So I became involved with the North Dakota Wildlife Federation probably, oh gosh, it's been over 15 years ago, and have served on the board for that long, and was a president of the North Dakota Wildlife Federation for a spurt back in the late 2000s, and now I'm the affiliate representative. So.
And that means that when we talk about those policies that get proposed as resolutions and are the affiliates vote on them, means that you're carrying that vote.
Correct.
Yep. And I got out to North Dakota actually for the first time last fall. I'd never been there. My grandparents used to live in Wyoming, but we usually travel through South Dakota or Nebraska on the way there. And we had the Association of Great Lakes Outdoors Writers. And believe it or not, the Great Lakes Outdoors Writers for some reason went to Bismarck, North Dakota last year. So that drew me out there. And I'm really glad it did because I hadn't really seen that country before. You know, I maybe had the same perception maybe that folks in other states do. You know, the only thing I knew about North Dakota was the just a couple songs that make it seem kind of stark. But driving through there, it's beautiful. It is a prairie pothole. We got out around Bismarck to where it starts breaking up. I didn't really get west. I know a couple buddies went out and hunted in the Badlands. But even what I saw in going to Fort Abraham Lincoln State Park, I ended up taking a day to just go up and trail run and see the country. And it's beautiful, beautiful country. And Dave came out and presented on some of the work to that group that the Federation was, the North Dakota Wildlife Federation was doing at the time. What's kind of the history of the formation? How did the North Dakota Wildlife Federation come to be to do that work?
Well, I guess as far as the formation, at least the history that I know, I mean, I'm an outsider coming from Iowa, so unlike some of the other old board members we've had of the past who were born and raised there, may have a better feel for this. But I think it came out of the same circumstances that formed the National Wildlife Federation. I mean, I think North Dakotans have always been a very consumptive group of people, for either recreational reasons or in some cases actually sustenance reasons. So, I mean, I think they were alarmed probably at what was happening, just like most people across the nation were at that time. And given the timing of when they were formed in the mid-30s, it fits in with that framework. So I think that was probably the genesis of the North Dakota Wildlife Federation.
And we're continuing on in that tradition of being the voice for hunters and anglers to keep habitat on the ground, wildlife, and you know, full game bags at the end of the day.
And does your federation, does that have a similar decision making type of structure? So do you have affiliated like Rod and Gun clubs, other associations? How does, you know, the way that you vote on our policies here, do you have a similar type of process in the state?
Yeah, so we're made up of affiliate clubs across the state.
Okay.
Local rod and gun clubs, wildlife clubs, and we're working right now to expand that a little bit, to get back further out west and to be more inclusive to different user groups. But yeah, they have a say in our policies at the end, similar to our annual meeting here at National. We have just a smaller scale version of that in North Dakota, and they set our policies.
Yep, yeah, just like here, and we were just working on resolutions today. We do the same thing at our annual meetings. We have a portfolio of resolutions that drive our policy, and those are basically formed by our affiliated clubs.
For quite a few years, I worked for our Michigan affiliate, Michigan United Conservation Clubs, which has a similar model. And what I love about that model, And I think what drives NWF, and, you know, regardless of kind of what you think about as a big green group or something like that, our policies are actually set where you could have an individual grassroots member who is an individual member of a rod and gun club in North Dakota. That person could have an idea about conservation, bring it to his club or her club. That may get brought to the North Dakota Wildlife Federation, and they may adopt that, and that policy may say, tell the NWF to go do something on the national level. You could bring it here, convince Absolutely. The rest of the groups yeah. here that that's the right thing to do, and we could adopt it. And then we put, you know, our work, and you know, when we go to Washington and lobby, we often bring the state resources to bear and bring them out there. But you could have an individual member of a North Dakota Rod and Gun Club have an idea about conservation, work it through this federation system that we've been talking about, and that individual Rod and Gun Club member could make a major impact on national conservation policy. And when you talk about a grassroots organization, I don't know that there's another one in the conservation sphere that is that expansive that has that opportunity for an individual hunter or angler.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, and taking it to that next step, you know, one of the things that I think is really unique and is beneficial to the sporting community is we're able to, here at this meeting, interact with people from various other places in this country and find out, you know what, they're facing the same issues. So now you can basically get together with those people and make something that's common, that drives a common goal for all those people, and take that and elevate that up. So that's something that's pretty powerful, not only to learn, but to move and take action on.
What are some of the things that the North Dakota Wildlife Federation has taken on, you know, in North Dakota recently?
Yeah, so our biggest pitch when we go out to our local affiliates is we're the voice at the Capitol in North Dakota, in Bismarck, during the session. We're one of the few groups that gets up and testifies on any bills relating to hunting, fishing, habitat. Access is a big one in North Dakota, with so much private land. And, you know, it's right now it's a lot of defense, beating back bad bills, speaking for resident hunters in the state. And we hope to start moving that needle more and more so that we can start promoting good bills, you know, access bills that increase public access to the resource, increase habitat on the ground for pheasants and for ducks. And so that's where my main focus is right now, coming off of a legislative session where
right.
We actually had some pretty strong victories, which was good to see. Now that session's over, it kind of turns to the fun part of going out and meeting with affiliates and, you know, the on the ground, boots on the ground, gloves in hand projects, habitat projects. And maybe Dave, you can speak a little bit. We've got some work that's going around cranes, as well as some work out west.
Right. I mean, we've struggled through time. I mean, as with any organization, you ebb and flow. And recently, we were the benefactors of some estates who, for some reason, had heard about some of the work we are involved with and recognized us as an organization that fights for causes they believed in. And we received some money to put some conservation on the ground. And one of them was actually specifically ear tagged towards crane conservation in North Dakota, which is not a well-known subject. So it was kind of interesting that it came down that way. But anyway, so we've worked with other organizations to leverage that money and actually get some conservation put into the ground, to where I believe there will be about $2 million put on the ground for conservation work in North Dakota that will benefit everybody. It'll benefit not just the consumptive groups, the hunters, but it will also be anybody who enjoys having wildlife around and preserving that for the future.
What are a couple of those projects? What do those look like? What type of
They're still in the works. This is something that's happened pretty recently, but most of them are going to probably revolve around easements, conservation easements of some sort. So you know, one of the things that we've heard about, at least here at this meeting, and some people have probably heard about nationally, is a conversion of grasslands to agriculture. That's been a really big issue in our region, because it is the prairie system, and it's one of the most imperiled habitats in the world next to the rainforest with the increase in agriculture. So importing, preserving and protecting some of those remaining areas to make sure that they stay intact is pretty critical in North Dakota. And so that's probably where that conservation effort will go to.
And you have a really kind of special role in protecting that habitat, because the prairie pothole system doesn't just benefit North Dakota. I mean, the prairie pothole system occupies a big part of North Dakota, but that's a duck factory for North America.
Absolutely.
How is that doing?
Well, it's doing well. I mean, right now we are in an incredibly wet period, I guess you would say. In fact, in the 30 years I've been there, I'm not so sure I've seen the prairie pothole region. The expanse of the prairie pothole region is wet as it is this year. It's basically wet from the sand hills of North Dakota all the way up through about halfway up through North Dakota at levels that are, like, I mean, actually bad. Too much water is actually it's causing some issues, and is going to be hampering some agricultural efforts. But so that piece of the pie is there. Unfortunately, with the conversion of grasslands, there's a reduction in potential nesting cover, and couple that with farm policy that has reduced the CRP program, it's not going to be as productive as it could be. I mean, this could have been one of them years when people on the receiving end of the migratory corridor could have been going, holy buckets, we made some ducks this year. We're going to make ducks this year, but you know, our goal is to make sure we can optimize and make the most we possibly can. So farm policy really drives the landscape in North Dakota. It is, agriculture is number one in North Dakota. It always has been and always will be. So we try to work within that framework, and on our landscapes, farm policy probably is the biggest driver. So, and it's not just us, it's the upper Midwest in general. So that's one of the things that we try and, you know, really focus on, because it has such an impact on our wildlife populations.
And what do you see coming down the line next, in addition to the conservation projects that you were describing? And John, I know that you just came on board, but what do you see kind of on the horizon for the North Dakota Wildlife Federation moving forward?
Yeah, so I've been on board for just 6 months right now. I'm finally a full-on resident of North Dakota. I don't have to pay non-resident fees, which I'm pretty excited about. But yeah, our main thing is I would like to see the Wildlife Federation in North Dakota grow and really be that grassroots that we got our start in, really expand that so that we cover the full state, and that, you know, from the northwest corner up near Williston and Watford City down to Wahpeton on the southeast side of things, that we are that sportsman's voice. We're covering it. We're working on the ground projects, and we have a seat at the table when it comes to policies. You know, we're talking about farm policy right here. We have to work with other organizations that represent farmers, and the larger of a constituent that we have of hunters and anglers who are engaged and active, the more or the easier time we'll have with working with those landowners, with those farmers groups, to make actual positive change on the landscape. You know, at the end of the day, we can have a big organization, you know, we can have money in the bank, but if we're not actually doing conservation work on the ground,
right,
and seeing the benefits, and increasing, you know, deer populations, increasing nesting cover for ducks and for pheasants.
Right. I think that's important, John. I mean, the North Dakota Wildlife Federation is different, again, in the realm that it's not one of them groups that has an annual meeting or annual banquet, and you come and you pay your $40 and you have a banquet and they raise some money. Our goal is to actually do something and make a difference on the landscape. It's And if we're not, then I question why we're even fighting the fights. So I mean, I think that's pretty important to point out, because that's why I'm involved. I want to be a part of an organization that actually is promoting the history of sportsmen as conservationists.
You know, that's so important. And when you look across the conservation landscape, there are a number of groups. And if you're a duck hunter, you might join Ducks Unlimited or Delta Waterfowl.
And they're all good groups.
Yeah, all good groups. And what I see with, it's like a mosaic, right? Like each group occupies a different part, and it takes all the different groups being fully effective at doing their part to combine into the conservation force that we need for wildlife. And when we think about, you know, especially if you're a waterfowl hunter, like what drew you to North Dakota and the duck factory that you have there, you know, there's work that those other organizations do, and they do great work. But if you want to talk about the policy being made in the state where the ducks are made, then it could be. And I don't want to push, out-of-staters to your organization if that's not who you're representing. But you could make the case that if you hunt ducks in North America, whether or not you live in North Dakota, might be a good idea to support the North Dakota Wildlife Federation, because the North Dakota Wildlife Federation is fighting the policy battles that protect the prairie pothole region.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a lot of, like you mentioned, a lot of great groups that are working on, you know, species-specific things. The Wildlife Federation is all-encompassing, and so we're working to try and unite where we can on the common ground stuff. You know, there's no need for the conservation groups to be bickering and fighting. Let's have a kind of a unified vision and move forward to actually protect things on the ground.
You know, Dave and I have had that conversation too, because we're both individual members of backcountry hunters and anglers, and with all the different organizations out there, what I like about our federation, and we'll hear this from our CEO, Colin O'Mara, who says collaboration is our brand, you know, and working with different groups. Our policies are set by our affiliates, but we get work done the best when we're working across the landscape with different partners. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, a couple of us are members of lots of different groups. Like, I work for NWF, but I'm probably a member of at least 10 different conservation organizations. Mm-hmm. I support the work. I know you guys are too, just from reading your backgrounds. With the North Dakota Wildlife Federation, you talk about reaching out and to new audiences. How are you doing that? How is that going to work? Do you think that will ever change the character of the federation, or are we just looking at being more effective as a wildlife federation?
So the biggest thing is, you know, when you go to meet with these groups, and it's whether it's an affiliate of ours or, you know, Ducks Unlimited, which has a regional office in Bismarck, it's listening to what projects they've got, where that common vision can go, and I'll never turn down a good idea. I don't care where it comes from. We'll take it in, and where we can work together, we will. And I'm a member similar to you. I'm a BHA member. I'm a Pheasants Forever member. They're all great groups, and where we can work together, we should.
I think finding common ground is quite easy. We have a tendency to get caught in our little cliques. But I think if you can kind of recognize that, you know, the people who do nothing but birdwatch, you know what, we have very similar goals at the end of the day, and convincing them that we are an organization that can further what they enjoy as well is how you make those inroads, and you become a bigger conservation force at that point. So
if somebody, whether they're a hunter and angler in North Dakota, or a bird watcher in North Dakota, or a duck hunter literally anywhere else in North America, wants to get involved and support the work of the North Dakota Wildlife Federation, where can they go to do that and find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram, North Dakota Wildlife. Easiest way to find us would, you know, use the old Google, North Dakota Wildlife Federation.org. We just updated our website, have an easy way to become a member, to donate to our work, and just to learn more. If you want to get on our newsletter, we send that out quarterly, and that's that's kind of the easiest first step. But otherwise, if you're in Bismarck, come to our office, give us a call. You know, my cell phone number is on that website. I'm hoping I don't regret that someday, but for right now, it's been good. And you know,
one thing I think that we should probably point out a little bit more about our structure, I guess, we probably should have done that on the front end. But yeah, a way to join, of course, is to get involved with a local wildlife club in your region, and I'd encourage them. You know, if you think that that we're the organization, and if they're not affiliated with us, you know, to have that conversation with them and explain to them the benefits of being affiliated. But we also have just individual members. You know, you don't have to be, if you're not a member or your pursuit is not hunting and angling per se, but you care or you think that the environmental work that we're doing, because everybody likes clean water and things like that, right? So if you think that's something that you value, I mean, you can become an individual member of the North Dakota Wildlife Federation without any of being a member of an affiliated club too. So there is that option as well. So that's a little bit about the structure. And yeah, I think that probably mirrors, I mean, that's possible within National Wildlife Federation as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We have individual members. If you add the individual members, if you add all the members of the independent affiliates and our partners in different coalitions, you know, we cite the number 6 million, and that's when you add them all together. But you can support NWF by being a member of an affiliate like North Dakota Wildlife Federation, or by being an individual member. But even with our individual members, I think it's important for folks to know that our grassroots structure is such that our national policies will always be set by our independent state affiliates. So, and that's important for us to maintain the authenticity, the contact with grassroots, and make sure that we're always a bottom-up structure and not a top-down structure.
Right.
What we'll do is, in the show notes, if you're listening to this, we'll put in the website, make sure that we link to it, tag you all when we introduce this. John and Dave, thank you for joining me on the National Wildlife Federation Outdoors Podcast. It's been a pleasure learning more about the North Dakota Wildlife Federation. As I mentioned, I've been there once, and I'll have to get back again because it was a lot more beautiful country than I expected.
Yeah, you missed a really magical place in the state. So I told you next time we got to make sure and get you out the Badlands.
Yeah, you know, actually the guy that took over my old job as editor of Michigan Outdoors Magazine went out there and hunted the Badlands with Brandon Butler, who at the time was the executive director of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, and he wrote a great article about it in Michigan Outdoors Magazine, you know, about hunting the Badlands out there that made me wish that I didn't miss that trip. but it was great. So yeah, wherever you are in America or North Dakota, go check out the North Dakota Wildlife Federation. Thank you both. This has been the National Wildlife Federation Podcast, supported by a partnership with Rep Your Water, who supports our work to try to limit the spread of Asian carp. And I've been your host, Drew Youngdyke.